There are always ideas for how functions of government can be done better, perhaps not by the government. Those ideas gain traction when people gain power politically. President Trump has proposed putting the federal air traffic control system into private hands, private nonprofit hands, he pointed out. But it would still be a change for the air traffic control system that guides all those planes to their destinations safely. We sought out a response from someone in the business of seeing that planes and passengers get where they're going, and we happened upon Byrne Case, who's the director of the Medford Airport, officially the Rogue Valley International Medford Airport. Thanks for joining us in the studio, Byrne.
Pleasure to be here.
So, first of all, you mentioned when you got into the studio, it's not like you can provide a real opinion on this, given that you work for government, too.
Yeah, I'll be very factual and try and lay out some of the things.
Tell us about how air traffic control functions now, particularly as it relates to the Medford Airport. There are controllers still in the tower in Medford, right?
We do have controllers. It's not 24 hours. They close down late at night and start very early in the morning. But we have a few hours where it's a party line, and the pilots talk to each other on a common frequency, and we can get through the night that way. Evolution is interesting. Small airports or airports our size, a lot of them are privatized already. We have a company, a contractor called Serco, that provides air traffic controllers for our airport. They're paid for by the FAA, regulated by the FAA, but they are private.
As you have read the proposal coming out of the administration, does it appear to be something similar like that, where you essentially let a private company do the work of what is now a set of federal positions across the board, not just at local airports?
I think that's the majority of the reason. The other thing, unions keep pushing prices up, and if you go private, then you get a number of companies and you take competitive bids, and that's not a bad way to lower prices sometimes.
Who pays for the air traffic controllers at the Medford Airport? Is it something that gets paid for out of the local budget, or is that a federal thing?
It's the passengers, really. It's a ticket tax on your ticket. That portion of that goes to air traffic control.
All right. So, but I mean, is it something you have to budget for locally? Or
no, I don't.
No, you don't. Okay. So it's paid for someplace else. So how did that split end up coming out where Serco ends up running the air traffic control locally?
You know, the smaller airports was becoming a funding issue. And back in the late 90s, a lot of towers converted over. And it was almost not perceivable by the public. A lot of the guys that we have are retired FAA or retired military who had their training through the government anyway.
So is there a chance that down the road, I guess you'd still have air traffic controllers in the military and in government to provide a pipeline of people to fill those
and
positions?
There's also private schools now, and people can choose it as a career path, and that's kind of an interesting thing because it hadn't been that way in the past.
As long as you have been around airports, was that a job you ever did, air traffic control?
No. I talk to them a lot because anytime we go out in the movement area of the field, we have to coordinate with them. But I don't have a background in that, but some of my counterparts do or have.
I just wonder about the intensity of the job itself. I mean, everybody most of the articles you read about air traffic control tend to come after there's been some incident of some kind, whether it's a discussion like this one about who should take the role and who should fund it, or whether there's been some sort of some mishap in the air. It's a highly stressful job, it sounds like.
For some centers and some towers, it is very stressful. During the fire season a couple of years ago when we had the DC-10s and all of the tankers going and our regular traffic, our guys here had to rise to some of them to their previous capacity of handling it. But amazingly, they were pumped up because sometimes ours is kind of a lazy, laid-back tower, but they can still handle a lot of traffic when they need to.
All right. I hadn't even thought about that part of things. I mean, aside from so air traffic controls are handling not just the commercial flights, but everything else that flies.
Oh, yeah, the private. In fact, it's real important to us to have a lot of operations because that's why our tower is funded without us having to budget for it. When people go out there and practice or the military practices, all of those things count as operations, and there's a threshold to where you get paid to have air traffic control.
Okay. So because there are things going on that you have to deal with beyond your capacity to handle it, that's provided by the federal government.
That's right.
Let's give an idea of the scale of traffic then for air traffic controllers at the Medford Airport in particular, because, if people think in terms of just the commercial flights, that's maybe, four flights four times a day or whatever it is. But how much of a load does general aviation and the other stuff, like particularly in fire season, add to that?
Well, they fill in substantially. Right now we're at about 22 flights a day in and out commercially. Mm-hmm. And if you add to that the box carriers, FedEx and UPS and those guys, that probably doubles us, and then some commercial corporate. But general aviation is a large portion of it. We'll have about 40,000 operations this year. And if you divide that down, it's probably a flight every few minutes, but they come in surges. For example, we're very busy first thing in the morning, and then we have a lapse and get busy in the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. Weekends on nice days, flying days, GA helps us a lot. They get a lot of flights coming and going.
All right. So if you have 40,000 operations a year, I'm trying to do some quick math here, 22 commercial flights a day times 365. I mean, the fact is that the commercial part of it sounds like maybe 20%.
Yeah, it's a small portion. It's very important because there's a lot of people on those planes. But the guy in his Cessna practicing is just as important because you can't have two aircraft coming together. So.
Byrne Case is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the director at the Rogue Valley International Medford Airport. We're talking about the air traffic control operations generally in the context of the proposal by the Trump administration to privatize air traffic control. You can join the conversation on the exchange. We'll be talking about some more general issues with air traffic at the Medford Airport. You can join on those subjects as well, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. There's a precedent here, I understand, system-wide, because the Canadian system has already gone to something similar to what the administration is proposing. Do you have much familiarity with that?
You know, from my friends in Canada who are members of some of the same associations I am, they feel like it works fairly well. So I think it can be done. The system is very good right now. The other thing that comes into play, and they call it next gen, but we're upgrading the capability of air traffic control all the time. And it wasn't very many years ago that all the planes flew, and we called them highways in the sky, but they were all on the same flight paths, and that made it easy for air traffic control. But with technology, they're saving a lot of fuel, doing a lot of good green things by putting flights on the best route for that flight. And with technology, they can do that without having them all just lined up in a row going across the country. So that's evolving very fast, quickly.
That's a real interesting perspective, the highways in the sky. So essentially the routes were already pre-picked out. You were going to do your vectoring and get to that route at that elevation?
That's right. You go from point to point, and then you peel off at the right time. But they had these instruments out there, VORs they called them, and you flew from one VOR to another across the country. And some parts of the country very rarely saw an aircraft fly over, while others had an aircraft every few minutes.
All right. That explains why there are some places where planes seem to fly over all the time and they're not very close to airports. So you're saying now with the flexibility with newer systems, then instead of having these constantly set up things, you can just pick a set of points. As long as the computer clears them and says there's nobody in that pathway, you're okay.
Yeah, this would be a crude comparison, but on your navigation system in your car, sometimes it gives you a choice of routes.
Mm-hmm. Especially in Los Angeles,
yeah,
I find.
And based on congestion and also the descent. I mean, flying high till the last minute and then descending to an aircraft, if you can start descending a couple hundred miles out, think of the fuel you save. It's sort of like coasting in your car.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what sorts of things would you want to see to feel for yourself that things were happening in a way that would help the people that you need to help, which are the users of the Medford Airport? What sorts of criteria are you thinking of as being good benchmarks if we do in fact move ahead into privatizing air traffic control?
Well, if it goes ahead, I think the specifications and the training and the standards need to be maintained very high, and that's one of the keys. One of the things that I like at this size airport, and the reasons I've been here for so many years, is I know our air traffic controllers. We know each other's voices. You get in a big city and where there's hundreds of them rotating through the center and the towers, you lose that personal touch. But I can say here that we have an excellent relationship, and it's important that we do.
So you'd like to make sure that stays in place?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And for the people who use the airport, then, I mean, what would be the advantage, if any, to some of the the things we're talking about under privatization. What might the average airline traveler notice leaving an airport like Medford?
You know, the sad part is they may not notice it, but the amount of money on their ticket to pay for air traffic control may not come down, but it can stop going up at the speed that it's going up. A dollar issue is one of the things that they're looking at privatization for.
How fast has that, so is it something that is applied to just the Medford Airport or all airports?
All airports, mm-hmm. And it's a standard percentage, and we've gotten used to it. It's almost invisible on the ticket, but it's on there, and that's how it's paid for. So a person who never flies doesn't pay for air traffic control. People who fly a lot pay a lot, and kind of the user fee concept.
Mm-hmm. And is it done as a percentage of the ticket or just a flat fee?
I believe it's a flat fee.
Mm-hmm. And that has been escalating, you're saying, in recent years?
Yeah, and it's slow, but it's not going down. And if we can stop the growth, that would be probably a positive thing.
And from the reference you made earlier, it sounds like the union has been pretty good at keeping the benefits and pay.
Yeah, they've done well in keeping up, and they're very professional. Like I say, I'm not taking a side in this argument, but there's some benefits on both sides. But if it should privatize, specifications would be a very important aspect of that transition.
Byrne Case is the director of the Medford Airport. We're talking about air traffic control and other issues. 800-838-3760 by phone. jx@jeffnet.org by email. Here's a call from Harry in Wairika. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about air traffic control.
Well, thank you very much. I have two comments. One of them is serious and the other one is maybe. I don't know. The first one is, as I remember, Ronald Reagan went after the unions, and it's the same thing that Donald Trump's ideas of right to work nation, so no unions. And I think as Patco was an example of trying to get rid of unions.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, maybe not serious, I don't know. A friend of mine is absolutely convinced that government is putting something in airplane fuel and making contrails and causing deer antlers to misform, and obviously we are all being poisoned without our consent. I'll take my answer off the air.
All right, thanks. Appreciate that, Harry. So a couple things to think about. First of all, is air traffic control the reference to the Ronald Reagan in 1981 refusing to accede to the demands of the Professional Air Traffic Controllers Organization, or PATCO, which ended up breaking the union, which never reformed, or there is now a replacement for it called NATCA, I guess.
Yes, and I was working during PATCO. I was a manager of operations at the Salt Lake Airport. And that was a stressful time for all of us. Managers who hadn't handled aircraft in years were suddenly thrust back into the microphone. And there were some stressful moments. I have some counterparts and some friends that lost their jobs through the PATCO and went into airport management. So there's a lot of diverse feelings about that. But it has grown back, and I'm not sure what all the motivations are, but I know the dollars is part of it.
All right, so that's a big one for you is cost. You think that the cost of air traffic control can level off if privatization does happen?
Yeah, and you know, airlines will be the first to tell you that all these little added on things that go on your ticket, and there's a variety of them to pay for different things, do affect people's travel. I mean, the more costly it is to fly, the fewer people fly. And if fewer people fly, it's kind of a spiral that can take place. So maintaining, because when you buy your ticket, and we talked before we got on the air, you're planning a trip, and they tell you what the ticket costs.
Mm-hmm.
You don't turn around and say, the government's charging me this much. It's whichever airline you're talking to gets blamed for that amount.
That is true. Do you have any response to the other part of what Harry is talking about? Because I'm sure you hear the contrail versus chemtrail thing pretty often in airline business.
I get it a lot. And if we have one of those days where they are both north and south and east and west and it looks like a tic-tac-toe session in the sky, there's some conspiracy people out there that really get exercised. We actually have an FAA number that we hand out for them to talk to that explain all the science of it. But there are people that strongly believe that there's something going on up there other than just a natural phenomena of from the heat and the discharge of the aircraft.
We had a U of O professor come on within the last few months to explain that very thing. Before we go, I want to move on to things other than air traffic control and talk about you do have United Airlines or American Airlines at least its regional carrier coming to the Medford Airport now.
Yes, to both Los Angeles and Phoenix, and very glad to have them on board. Competition's good for everybody, and if you look at their entire repertoire, they're the largest airline in the world right now, and having them here is good for us.
Does that increase the total number of seats available leaving and arriving in Medford every day?
It does. Our seats are up substantially over last year, and it's not just American, but United's upgraded the size of their aircraft. Most of the airlines are gradually easing up from 60 to 70 to 75, but United's gone back to some narrow-body 737s and Airbuses, and it's a mixed fleet right now, but things are good. Seats are up.
So how many seats each day are there in and out of the Medford Airport?
You know, I wish I had that number memorized, and I don't. I know that we're up 24% over last June right now.
Wow, okay, that's a lot more seats. So is that a historical high from your knowledge?
I would guess that it is, but that's without turning pages backwards to take a look, but I believe it is.
But is this likely to be the upper limit? I mean, I'm guessing that airline employees always seem to take some glee in, like, our flight is 100% full.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the benefits it used to be for working for the airline is you could go anywhere, standby anytime you wanted. That benefit is not quite as good as it used to be because they fill planes and some people lose their jobs when they can't get back. So that can be a challenge. But our load factors are good. They're where the airlines are making money. It's sort of like a guy who has an apartment house. If you're 100% full all the time, you're probably not charging enough. So they have this balance where they want to be around 90%.
Mm-hmm. Before we go quickly, do you anticipate people flying in for the eclipse in August?
I think we'll get some flying into our airport. My friends to the north are going to be in fact, I have a friend at Jackson Hole, Wyoming, mm-hmm. where people are actually putting cars in his parking lot right now to hold a place and
wow.
paying him a daily fee to have but he's at a perfect spot. But,
okay, yeah, Medford's not exactly right on the path of the eclipse.
No,
yeah,
some people fly to here and drive. It is a big phenomenon. Hope it's not overcast. You can put your weather guy in charge of making that a nice view that night.
That'll be August 21st. That's what we're talking about for the eclipse, total eclipse. It'll pass over Salem and Madras, Oregon. Byrn Case is the director at the Medford Airport, which is officially the Rogue Valley International Medford Airport, talking about air traffic control, privatization, and some other issues going on at the airport. Byrn, always good to see you. Thanks for coming by.
My pleasure.